That's Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through to 15. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole of Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to see him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit set him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Great. Well, I'm just going to rearrange the stage here. But while I do that, young people, why not just make sure that your parents and the people next to you have still got their Bibles opened? Yeah, just make sure on Mark 1, and I'll be with you in a sec. Have you checked? Yeah. Right, well, let me pray before we look at the Bible together. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for what you tell us in the Bible. Please help us to listen really well now, and please help us to understand what you say and be really thankful for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, have a think. Can you think of any time you've been really excited about something? Have a think. Maybe some of the young people can think of a time they've been really excited about something. Rahul. Can someone?
Birthday.
Why are you excited about a birthday, Rahul? Yeah, that's right. Because you might get some presents, Charlie. Easter. Why are you excited about Easter? Because you get Easter eggs. There's a theme going on here, is there? Go on, Hugh. Fun? Xbox. Why are you excited about Xbox? Because it's fun. Playing Xbox, fun. Yeah? Christmas, yeah, Abby? Going to Legoland. Well, that's amazing. Well, can I tell you about something I was once really excited about? It was coming up to my birthday, and I'd asked my mum and dad for an electric guitar. And I'd asked them and asked them and asked them, and they hinted they might get me an electric guitar. So I was quite excited, but I wasn't sure if it was coming or not. So you know what I did? I had a sneak around the house. That's right, and I had a look in the cupboards, and I saw an electric guitar box in one of the cupboards. But I didn't have a look in the box, but I thought, I'm definitely going to get that electric guitar. It's coming! I was really excited about getting that. Well, we're looking at a book in the Bible now, and we're right at the start, and the people at the time are waiting for something. They're actually really excited for something coming up. But it's not an electric guitar. It's not It's not Easter eggs. It's not playing Xbox. It's something even more exciting. Just let me tell you, right at the start of the Bible, God made a perfect world. It was great. But by page 3, only 3 pages in, well, there was a massive problem. See, by page 3, the first 2 people, Adam and Eve, had messed up. They sinned. They did what they wanted rather than God wanted. And every single person after them, that's including us, has done the same. And that's why the world's such a mess. We make a mess of the world. But here's the thing. God loves his world. And he made a promise. He promised that he was going to send someone to sort this problem out. He was going to send someone to beat Satan, to beat evil, and to rule forever in a perfect world. And the people have been waiting, and they waited a few years, and they waited a few more years, and they've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. But this king still hasn't come. And so they've been waiting all this time, but then we read the first verse of this book, Mark. Have a look down at verse 1 of this book, Mark. Is everyone there? Mark writes, this is the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is saying, this is it, guys. This is it. This king is here. He's here. Are you excited? Well, you can read all about him in my book. Mark says, this is the king. But can we trust him? Because God has made loads of promises about this king. Is he really the king? Well, we're going to have a look at 3 really important things to expect from this king. What is this king going to be like? And here's the first one. He's not just going to be any king. He's going to be God's chosen king. He's going to be God's chosen king. Now, have a think. What kind of things might sort of a normal king or queen, what kind of things might they have, children? What do you think? A normal king or queen, what kind of things might they have? What do you think? Hands up. Go on, Bryn, we haven't had you yet. A carriage? They might have a royal carriage to ride in. Yeah, yeah. What, Danny?
A palace.
A palace, yeah. They might have a big castle or a palace, somewhere massive to live. Yeah, you know me? Yeah, soldiers and army to look after them. Because if you're the king or the queen, you need to be looked after, don't you? Rahul? Money, yeah. You want to be rich, yeah? So I don't know your name. A crown, yeah. So you might expect, a king or queen to have all those things. I've got some pictures here. There's a queen. She's got a crown on. I wonder how much that costs. And she's in a throne as well. You might expect a king or queen to be in a throne. And then the next one. Well, that's her palace. She lives there. Imagine how hard that is to clean. That's where she lives. And there are her army. All her soldiers are there to look after her. That's what you might expect a king or a queen to have. But actually, God says in the Bible, that's not what's the main thing we should expect from God's king. In fact, God's special king, it's not about how many diamonds he's got in his crown. It's not about how big his army is or where he lives. What makes God's chosen king so special is that he has God's spirit. He has God's spirit. So that's the first thing. That's what the Christ means. It means God's chosen king with God's spirit. So the first thing we need to expect from God's chosen king, he's going to have God's spirit. He's going to have God's spirit. Well, that's the first thing that we should expect when God's king comes. What about the second thing? What else should we expect? Well, here's the second thing. God's king is going to be God himself. Bit weird, I know, but that's what he says. See, all the way through history, God keeps reminding his people, because they're a bit forgetful, and he's taken a while to keep his promises, they think. So he keeps reminding them, I am going to come. I am going to come and sort the world out. Just wait. And he used guys like Isaiah and Malachi. They were prophets. He used them to remind the people what he was going to do. And actually, Mark, who wrote Mark here, has been really helpful. He's written down what some of those prophets said. So let's have a look. I've got a bit of work for you to do. Maybe do this with the adults next to you, children. In verses 2 and 3, okay, who's coming? Who's coming first? And then who's going to come afterwards? So someone's going to come first, and then they're going to prepare the way for someone else. So have a look down and see if you can tell. Who's coming? What does it say in verses 2 and 3? Abby. Yeah, great. So first of all, a messenger is going to come. Yeah, and he's going to prepare the way. Who? Have a look at verses 2 and 3. Verse 3, who's he going to prepare the way for? Elliot, you got it? God, yeah. It says he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. Brilliant. You've just done Bible study there. That's amazing, isn't it? That's how easy it is. So, the Lord is going to come himself. God's going to come and sort the world out. He's going to come to rule. God's king is going to be God himself. So God's king is going to have God's spirit. God's king is going to be God himself. And here's the last thing to expect when God's king comes. God's king is going to beat evil. He's going to beat evil. So remember, Elliot said really helpfully, a messenger is going to come. And that messenger, well, we see him in verse 4. Have a look at verse 4 in your Bible. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region. See, John is this messenger. And you know what? They call him John the Baptist. You know why? Because he baptizes people. He dunks them under the water. And John is basically another prophet. He's the last Old Testament prophet. And you know how I know that? Because he shares, well, he shares their fashion sense. And he shares their taste in food as well. Because look at this. It might seem a bit weird, but look at verse 6. Look what he wears. John wore clothing made of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist. Probably a bit itchy, yeah? And look what he eats. He ate locusts and wild honey. Locusts are basically like big grasshoppers. Not very nice. But that's what he did because he was one of the prophets. The job of the prophets is, they don't go, oh, look at me, I'm so good. The prophets go, look at who's to come. They point forward to what God's king is going to be like. And that's exactly what John talks about. Look what John does. So he comes, doesn't he? Baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's saying, this guy is going to come, he's going to be able to forgive sins. You know that problem? Remember we talked about that problem from page 3 of our Bible? That problem of sin, of evil? Well, God's king is going to forgive sin. He's going to beat evil. It's not John that's going to do it, though, because John says, this is the guy who's going to do it. Have a look at verse 7 with me in the Bible. This is what John says. This was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I. The thongs of his sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's what John says. This person, the Lord, is coming and he's better than me. God's king will beat evil. So let's just have a recap. Where are we now? The three things to expect from God's king. Well, where are they? The first thing, God's king will have God's spirit. The second thing, God's king will be God himself. And the third thing, God's king will beat evil. Well, what an amazing promise. What an exciting thing to be waiting for. And remember, they've been waiting for years and years. But actually, what does Mark say? He says, they're not just promises. These things have happened. The good news is here. Have a look down at verse 9 with me in the Bibles. You looking at verse 9? At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Okay, Jesus comes, great. But he seems a bit normal so far, doesn't he? He comes from Galilee, which is a bit grim. He's baptized just like everyone else. Is he really the king? But have a look at what happens next. This is amazing. Have a look at what happens next. Verse 10. Jesus gets baptized, and then as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. The Spirit comes on Jesus. Now, can anyone tell me what that proves? The Spirit comes down on Jesus. What does that prove? What does that prove? Go on, Bryn. It proves he's God's king, doesn't it? Because what did we say? God's king will have God's Spirit. And then we say, Jesus, get baptized. And God's Spirit comes down on him. So that's our first one. We can tick that, can't we? He's got God's Spirit. He's God's king. But then, something even more amazing happens next. Have a look at verse 11. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. God himself speaks and says, you are my son. Now, we get a bit confused, don't we? Say, Jesus, what does it mean for Jesus to be God's son, to be the son? And hopefully, this is going to be a little bit helpful. We'll see. So I've got some pictures. Now, let's have a picture up. There you go. There's a nice cow. And you've got the cow's son. You've got a little cow there. And the cow's son is just like the cow. The cow's son is a cow as well. And we've got an even cuter picture next. Aww. There's a cat. And a cat's son is the same as a cat. It's a son, isn't it? Well, it's a similar thing going on here. By God saying, you are my son, God's saying, you're not just a normal person. You are made of the same stuff as me. It's showing that Jesus is actually God's, same as God's. Jesus is 100% God, but he's also 100% man. So, how are we doing? Well, we've got number two now, haven't we? Jesus is God himself as well. God says that, okay? But remember, Jesus is a king. What might you expect from a king? He doesn't head to the big city and beat the baddies. King Jesus doesn't go and get a massive army. He doesn't go and build himself a palace. Look what King Jesus does. It might be really surprising. In verse 12, let me read it to you. At once, the Spirit sent him out into the desert. King Jesus goes out into the desert. Why does he do that? Well, have a look at verse 13. And he was in the desert for 40 days being tempted by Satan. So Jesus goes into the desert and he's tempted by Satan. Now, that's really important because remember, right at the beginning, you know who caused man and woman to do bad things against God? It was Satan. They gave in to what Satan said. But here, Jesus goes into the desert with Satan, and Jesus doesn't give in. He doesn't do what Satan says. He doesn't sin. Jesus is the one who's going to come to beat Satan. He's the one that's going to come to beat evil. So let's have a look. We're there, aren't we? Jesus has got the Spirit. Jesus is God. And Jesus has come to beat evil. Jesus is the king. He's definitely the king. But so what? Like, are you bothered? Jesus is the king. What's that got to do with you? What's that got to do with Danny Bourne or Rachel or Lucy? That Jesus is the king. Well, have a look down, back at your Bibles, at verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Jesus says, I've got some good news for you. Here it is. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. See, you can't have a kingdom without a king. But Jesus is the king, and he's here, and he's saying, God's kingdom, it's here. It's here. God's kingdom is here. And Jesus says, you can be part of God's kingdom. It's a kingdom that's much better than the world. It's God's kingdom. It's amazing. And actually, as we have a look through Mark, Jesus shows us what God's kingdom is going to be like. God's kingdom is going to be one where you don't get hurt by nature, because Jesus is in charge of nature. So earthquakes and things won't be a problem. God's kingdom is where Jesus has power over illness, where you won't be ill. God's kingdom is where Jesus has power over death. Death is not the end. And God's kingdom is where Jesus has power over sin, where his people in his kingdom, well, sin's not going to be a problem anymore. He's going to beat sin. It's a perfect kingdom. But here's a question. If this kingdom is so amazing, how are we going to be part of it? How do you get into this kingdom? Well, Jesus tells us how to be in his kingdom. Have a look at verse 15 again. Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. That's how you get in. But what does that mean? Well, let me show you. Repent. This is what repent means. Repent basically means turn around. And here's the thing. Every single person who's born, they go that way. They go, I want to do what I want. I want the most toys. I want to be happy. It's all about me. I want to be the king. And that's the way they go. They walk in the way that's all about them. And Jesus says, when you repent, you turn around. You don't make it about what you want. You make it about what Jesus wants. It's not about always me being happy and doing what I want. It's about me wanting to do what Jesus wants and him being king. Repent just means turn around. Don't live for yourself. Live for Jesus. Don't live for the kingdom of this world, but live for Jesus' kingdom. And how do we do that? How do we turn around? Well, it's repent and believe the good news. Jesus says, if you believe that I'm the king, if you want to be part of my kingdom, if you believe that I can beat sin and beat evil, and if you trust me to bring you that forgiveness, then you've turned around and you're going to be in my kingdom. So that's it. What are you going to do? If you're here and that's not something you've done, if you've not repented, if you've not turned around and believe the good news, that's the most important thing you could do. Because Jesus' kingdom, it's a kingdom that lasts forever. It's a kingdom that will be perfect. And it's a kingdom that you can be part of. Let's pray as we finish. God, thank you so much that Jesus is the king. He's proven that. And so the kingdom is here. And thank you that we can be part of that kingdom. And that we can be part of that kingdom because Jesus died on a cross to bring us forgiveness so we can be friends with you and live with you forever. Please, with every single person here, make that decision to repent, to turn around and believe that good news. Amen.